Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joel?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, he's going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, drop it there. Pretty exciting weekend here if you're in Chicago. Not particularly exciting for Bulls fans, considering we've got Zach LaVine in the three-point contest and pretty much nothing else all weekend. But there are already stories leaking out, Matt, about different things going on here in Chicago. Either look-backs at the 90s, interviews with former players from Chicago. So I think we're going to get a lot of that this weekend as we kind of roll into the first day of All-Star Weekend, which starts tomorrow. But it's good to be back on the mics with you, Matt. How are you?
Jordan, what's up, man? I miss you. I'm so happy we're on the mics together today on the cusp of All-Star Weekend. Snow is falling. Temperatures in the teens. All this feels so wonderful and perfect. But let's not bury the lead, though. The Bulls have another representative at All-Star Weekend. Did you see the news? Bulls center Cristiano Felicio is a coach for Friday's Basketball Without Borders Global Camp. Come on.
Yeah, that's
he's a baller. He balls.
He's a baller.
Oh, poor Felicio. I know he does a lot of good things for Brazil basketball, and I know he got a decent chunk of playing time, but yeah, that's poor kids. Poor kids. They're excited to see some future star, some young up and coming star, and they get the $32 million guy that is a laughing stock here in Chicago. Unfortunately,
hey man, one of the best screeners in the NBA, according to Jim Boylan.
Oh my God, we have a lot to talk about though today, and a little time to do that. So, Matt, I think what we wanted to do first was kind of catch up on the trade deadline, post trade deadline, and also talk a little bit more about Paxson's comments, because this was the first. It's wild that this is the first time he spoke publicly, that we've been actually able to hear him and see him since media day. I mean, he's given quotes to different people behind the scenes, but he has said absolutely nothing to the media. And again, we'll get into this a little bit, but I can feel it in one instance. What is he going to say? What is there to say that he isn't going to get made fun of? He isn't going to get mocked for. So I can understand in that instance. But yeah, I think we should dive into some of his comments. What was the most alarming thing, I guess, right off the top is what's the most alarming thing to you in those 11 minutes that Paxson spoke after the Bulls did absolutely nada?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know if any of it was alarming, because it was like we were all bracing for another John Paxson press conference where he says a few, you know, flowery, optimistic things about where they are and where they're trying to go. And we still have 20 some games after the All-Star break to, you know, evaluate and see what we have. And maybe that's the part that to me was the most irksome, other than what we knew we were going to hear, of course, which was Paxson blaming a lot of his own faults and problems on the injuries to players on his team. But the whole notion of them not making a deal at the deadline because we don't know what we have, dude, you do know what you have. You made a deal for Otto Porter leading up to the deadline last year when you theoretically knew less than you know now. And you felt comfortable enough to make that big trade and bring in that big contract. So how do you know less now than you knew a year ago? And also to say, like, we don't know what we have. We got to get Wendell and Lowry back there on the floor. He acted like both of those guys had been hurt all season. And like, yeah, Otto went down early, and we knew that the depth at the wing was going to be an issue. But they were 3-6 before Otto got hurt. And then they were like, you know, 12 or 15 games under 500 when Wendell went down. And then, you know, a week later when Lowry went down after playing more than half of the season's games. That to me was like, dude, what the frick are you talking about?
It's dumb. And he dropped 16 injuries in a span of 11 minutes.
Oh, my God. You counted them?
Shout out to Chris Tannehill for doing it. He played all 16 of them in his open on Friday. And it's
what a legend.
I didn't realize it when I was listening to it the first time, but it's so spread out that you listen to all of those consecutive, you're like, holy shit, this dude has no answers. This guy has nothing to say. And in one word, I don't really blame one sentence. I don't really blame him because what is he going to say? You got a laughing stock of a coach who's taking timeouts up 25 or down 25 at the end of games, and he's really digging into that. We'll get into that in a minute, but back to Paxson really fast. Part of me starts to think now, Matt, as we're a week removed from the trade deadline, is they didn't make any moves because Paxson maybe sees the light and sees that, you know what, I think I'm out at the end of the year. Why blow anything else up? Why make any other decisions right now when it's really not going to impact us short term? I was just looking at the Bulls projection by 538 last night. Matt, the Bulls are projected to win 30 games, and they have a 5% chance of making the playoffs. The Magic, who are projected to have the last spot in the playoffs, they're projected to have 37 wins. The Bulls need to go 18-10 just to get to 37 wins. Bulls aren't going 18-10, so maybe this is Paxson's way of saying, hey, I'm not going to blow anything up. I'll let the next guy come in here and figure out what he wants to do with these pieces. But I think it's silly not to get anything for Denzel Valentine, who you know is gone for sure at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's the part that is, I think, the most frustrating, because other pieces that you thought might be tradable, Chris Dunn, who, to his credit, has certainly proved himself to be at least an above average defender, could be a useful piece for a playoff bound team. But he started with zero trade value to begin the season, literally zero. The Bulls threw him under the bus, you know, at the end of last season and openly shopped him and got nada. So there's that. Credit to him for raising his zero trade value to some non-zero number. But as soon as he, you know, gets that MCL injury, any trade value he had built for himself went out the window. Thad Young, yeah, a well-liked, well-respected veteran who could add some front court depth to playoff-bound teams. We heard maybe the Clippers were interested. They went a different direction with, you know, the what everybody anticipated as the Mo Harkless trade, and went and got Marcus Morris instead. But like the Bulls like killed Thad Young's trade value by forcing him to play Jim Boylan's system that turned the, you know, 12-year veterans game into something different that made Thad Young look like suddenly not a quality basketball player. So Denzel was the one that I thought still could maybe have some value just because he's a quality, you know, he's like, you know, about a 40% three-point shooter. He's underrated as a passer and a playmaker on the offensive end. Yeah, he's a sieve defensively, but half the league is at least. Add a shooter off your bench. Some potential teams that may have, you know, been able to use that, including a playoff-bound team like Philly, you know, went in other directions. Memphis was maybe another team that might be interested in Denzel. They went a different direction with a couple of trades. So, you know, even though I thought maybe Denzel had some trade value and that they should certainly shop him as opposed to letting him walk for nothing, which it looks like now is certainly what's going to happen, you can't be like, well, I can't believe they got nothing for him, because what executives around the league could look at Denzel and say, this team is struggling. This team is, you know, 10 plus, you know, games under 500, have been all season, and that guy can't even get into their rotation? Why would we give up an asset for that guy?
We see a versatile roster. We see some depth on this roster.
It makes no sense, because you can clearly see Jim Boylan and Denzel Valentine. There's a disconnect like no other, like a Jabari Parker of last year. Why you wouldn't get anything for him? And even listening to Valentine's comments after the trade deadline had passed, they had talked to him pregame a week ago. He sounded like somebody who would rather be anywhere else but here in Chicago playing for the Bulls. He said he loves this organization, loves playing for this team, loves playing for this city, which I don't think is false. I think he just doesn't like playing for Jim Boylan, which is an obvious fact, but you can hear him. He says, like, I'm going to evaluate things at the end of the year. I still love playing here, but it's total BS. He's going somewhere else. Why the hell would he come back here, especially if Jim Boylan's back here for another year? I don't blame him. He's wasted an entire season to kind of build himself up back from an injury, and instead he's rotted on the end of the bench when the Bulls have been the most injury plague they've been throughout these 3 years of this rebuild.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, I guess Paxson did say at some point in there in his interview last Thursday, you know, we know that all teams in the league struggle with injuries and deal with injuries. But the rest of that sentence should have been, so we won't use it as an excuse. But instead, what he said in so many words was, so we'll use that as an excuse. But again, other than Otto going down, you know, 10 games in, they had a much healthier roster this year through the first 42 games or so than they did at any point last year. They had a healthier roster with Jim Boylan at the helm than anything Fred Hoiberg had, and they had no problem firing Fred Hoiberg before he actually started to get some of those healthy pieces back. So it's more and more examples of the Bulls doing things that are wherever we can point the finger of blame that doesn't equate to us taking the accountability and putting it on ourselves, that's what we'll do. And so often it is the injuries. And again, why is it that this team seems to struggle with injuries more so than other teams? And why is it that when they are asked about their medical staff and their strength and conditioning staff, they insist that no turnover is necessary there and that they believe in those people. And as long as their players stay in their building, they won't get hurt. Well, clearly that's not right.
It's, and I feel bad too. I feel bad for the players. I honestly do, especially for some of these guys who are looking to have a legit opportunity. You can tell how disconnected these players are from Jim Boylan. I don't know if there's any single guy in that locker room that is buying anything that Jim Boylan is talking about or trying to do. You know, even the other night when they played the Wizards, they looked terrible. The Bulls came out so flat. It was one of the most boring games to watch outside of just Zach LaVine going off again. You know, I feel bad for him and Bradley Beal.
Are you saying you didn't like watching Felicio's transition defense?
the fact that guy only gets playing time when every single other big is down is sad. And they were playing Daniel Gafford too at a point where he's not even 100% either, which is, I don't know, that's a whole different issue. But to me, this brings up a larger question now that really Paxson didn't have anything good to say, anything worthy of fans to listen to. This brings me to Mike McGraw, who came out with an article earlier this week that is hinting at likely changes coming to John Paxson, Gar Foreman, front office changes. And Matt, we've heard this for what, better part of 5 years, and nothing has changed. Nothing, you know, pieces get shuffled around, but nothing actually gets removed and replaced. Are you buying into at all to this anymore? Are you buying into this more than you have ever before? Because I think I'm leaning towards they have to make a move here, because otherwise the little fan base that you still have engaged in this team, you're going to completely lose if you keep the front office here for another year. You keep the same coach here for another year. You're going to have nobody at the United Center next year if we're watching the same exact team with the same exact personnel.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the Bulls fall all the way to 23rd of 30 NBA teams this year in percentage of stadium's capacity filled in their home games. That's unheard of. That's even when the Bulls were, you know, the baby Bulls, the post-dynasty era, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, and then even like, you know, some other down years like the 2007-2008 year. In none of the struggling seasons between the dynasty ending and now have we seen attendance this bad. Clearly, the fan base is fed up and finally sending a message, which I think means that between that and how badly this season has gone, there will be some changes this offseason. And to me, the issue is which changes and will it be all of them? Because, you know, as McGraw was saying, they might give Paxson like the Kenny Williams treatment that the White Sox gave, and you know, when they, you know, brought in Rick Hahn or promoted Rick Hahn, and that they might give Paxson some flowery title as an advisor and, you know, essentially disguise it as a promotion when really they're going to have him step away from all basketball operations decisions. But if Reinsdorf's loyalty is so strong, especially with regard to Paxson, which we know it is, that he can't actually make John say, it's time to step down, it's time to step away, you know, kind of like the forced resignation of Krause in 2003. If they can't get that and they still have Paxson around, and if they can't actually give Gar the boot and instead say, all right, well, you're just going to be our head of scouting now, that's basically already happened. Gar is still the GM in title only. And all he's worrying about right now and has been for the past couple of years is scouting. And if they keep Gar around and just change his title, and they keep John Paxson around and just change his title, then whatever fresh face they bring in, fresh voice they bring in to be the new VP or the new GM, I worry about the people that they can get in the building to interview for the job if the people who are aware of this Bulls organization and how it's run know that well, Pax is still around. Am I going to have to argue with him? Am I actually going to have full authority of this organization moving forward? Am I allowed to pick my own coach, pick my own medical staff, bring in my own scouting team? Or will I have to say this job comes with Paxson apparently voicing his opinion sometimes, and this job comes with Gar still is going to be our head of scouting. This job comes with, well, you know, Jeff Tanaka is still going to be on the sideline ignoring Bulls players writhing in pain on the court. Because if all of those things change in title only, but all of those same faces are still around, who the hell is going to want that job?
We understand better than anyone.
Nobody's going to want that job. Literally nobody. And the way that the Bulls operate, too, it seems like they know what's best for everybody. And if those same people are still, even if they don't have final say, if they're still in the building contributing to actual points of how this team should be put together, what things should be done, what things shouldn't be done, like you were saying, how does anything actually really change? You've got somebody that's a different face and maybe somebody that's different that's talking in front of us, but are the ideas of how this rebuild is going and being put together still pretty much the same? Yeah, I mean, you're going to have John Paxson still in the room, right? You're going to still have Doug Collins in the same room. You're probably going to still have Gar Forman. If you don't fire him, if he just continues to be a scout, he's still going to be in the room. He's going to be talking about the prospects that you're going to have in the draft and free agents and all of that. So it's the same type of people. You're just adding another noggin to that room, which, I mean, then you've got too many chefs in the kitchen at that point, and none of them know how to cook. It's unbelievable. So that's another thing. That's a really good point. Who are you going to get in? Who are you going to bring in here that's going to say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to commit to this team for 5 years and be able to blow this entire thing up and put it back to where it should be? When they know the reputation of the front office, they know the reputation of this team. They know how pissed off and angry fans are here. I mean, I can't think of too many GMs that want to step into this role and say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to take this on while having 3, 4, 5, 6 other people have their hands in decision making. I can't see anybody wanting that. So that brings up a really good point is if they remove these guys from their positions and titles, who are you replacing them with? And are they going to have full control of being able to do exactly what they want? Rick Hahn was able to do exactly what he wants. Will Jerry Reinsdorf, will Michael Reinsdorf allow the person that they bring in, should they remove Paxson or Forman, are they going to allow them to have full and complete range of doing whatever they think is going to be successful for this rebuild going forward? I would hope so, but none of that over the last, what, decade, 2 decades has said that that's truthful. It's really just moving pieces, same ideas being floated around.
And it's the same issue that exists not only for hoping to get some of the, you know, the young up-and-coming executives in the league in your building for an interview for that job, whether it be VP or GM, and saying, you know, is this job less enticing because of some of these same old faces that are still around and still maybe jockeying for power? That also applies to potential free agents. And, you know, the summer of 2020 is not going to be big. The Bulls are cap strapped with Otto, certainly going to pick up his option after, you know, missing basically an entire season with injury. And they got one more year of Felicio on the books. But in the summer of 2021, when Otto's money and Felicio's money come off the books and there's a much bigger free agent class available, and maybe the Bulls are somewhere remotely closer to turning things around, will they finally be able to land some free agents worth getting if those people are still around. If a GM like Gar Forman, who has reportedly been so worried about his image and what people say about him that he plants moles on the coaching staff to report back to him about player behavior and what players are saying to each other, is still around, even if he's only in the scouting department, are any players who clearly all talk to one another going to trust coming and signing with the Bulls if Gar's still here? John Paxson, an executive who has no problem throwing his players under the bus, regardless of that player's name or cachet or role, but will, of course, never accept accountability himself if he's still around. Will free agents want to come and play for an organization where that guy is still around? So it's a problem of image and outside perception that, you know, Paxson has claimed repeatedly doesn't exist. But guess what? It does. As the entire national NBA media descends upon Chicago this weekend for All-Star Weekend, the Bulls are either ignored or laughed at by everyone in the NBA. Other teams' executives, agents, players, coaches, the Bulls are ignored or laughed at.
I'm not going to dispute you on that.
What about that changes if Gar and John are still here? It won't just impact getting the best potential executives to replace them. It'll impact free agents as well.
This was a weekend, Matt, where we talked about a year ago. Do you remember our conversation a year ago talking about All-Star Weekend? This was a conversation about how we should have two Bulls, at least one Bull in Zach LaVine in the All-Star game, have a bunch of Bulls players involved in All-Star Weekend. This was the weekend to start pitching why Chicago should be a place where borderline stars should want to come here and play and build something. This was supposed to be that year. Instead, I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone and we're back in year one of the rebuild again, and we're getting the same excuses over and over and over again. And we're in year three now, so we're not even getting responses or excuses as often as we were in year one. At least we would hear things, updates regularly. Now we just have to sit through brutal bad basketball and listen to the head coach who doesn't know how to speak talk to us after before and after every game. I don't understand. Like, Bulls fans are crazy. Probably one of the most insanely passionate fan bases of any sport out there. I see some fans that have gone through some terrible, watching some terrible Bulls teams, and they didn't give up, and they're ready to give up now. I see some Bulls fans that are saying, I've watched the Bulls for 25 years, and if Jim Boylan is head coach next year, I'm done. I'm not watching a single game. I'm not going to a single game. I'm done. I'm done until they fix things. And it's, you know, people talk a long time about that. People will talk the talk. They'll still watch games. They'll still go to a game here or there, but it's shown us more than ever this year that people are actually committing to what they're saying. And they're saying, you know what? I can spend my money elsewhere better than at the United Center and watch the Bulls get their teeth kicked in by 20 and watch Jim Boylan take timeouts in the last 60 seconds of a game. I can spend my money way better than watching a Bulls team right now do that. So I don't know if this worries Michael Reinsdorf, as far as lining their pockets, but the talent on the floor is terrible. Your coach is terrible. Your front office is a laughingstock in the NBA. And the only thing coming into All-Star Weekend that we have to talk about is going back and referencing a team from 20 fucking years ago. We can't talk about anything modern because this team is so embarrassing that we have to go back to the dynasty again. We have to reach back into that bag and talk about the dynasty again. Like, I get it. The dynasty
is... You're making a lot of Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler stands upset right now, man.
But exactly. That is my point here, is Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler should be talked about a lot more. This team should be talked about in why that didn't work and what they tried to do after that. We should be in modern day talking about the start of the rebuild, how things haven't gone right. Instead, the national media is going back. Let's reach back in the bag and let's talk about the 90s Bulls because it's easy and because it's more fun and exciting than to just bash the team. When in reality, a lot of Bulls fans here in Chicago want you to rip the team. It's the only way things change. It's the only way that people around the country realize that the Bulls are a complete shithole right now. Instead, let's reach back in the 90s and let's talk about MJ and Scotty and how fun it was to win championships. But let's not mention the elephant in the room, the fact that the Bulls haven't been relatively competitive in 20 years outside of 1 year with Rose and maybe 1 year with Butler. It's a joke for any fan that wasn't able to firsthand experience the 90s Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that that is the sad state of reality. And, as we mentioned, a few moments ago, Bulls fans are finally starting to show them that they've had enough with these insanely low attendance numbers this season, and that maybe finally that will be what gets the message across. But I think it speaks to just how insanely powerful that nostalgia for the old days is. And it's why, I think about it, when you and me went to that Bulls game a couple years ago with our buddy Robert and his dad for that giveaway that we did. And it was like, it was the LaVine versus Jimmy game, Bulls Timberwolves. And it was awesome, exciting back and forth fourth quarter, and the Bulls pulled out the game, and the Bulls were supposed to be tanking. That was year one of the rebuild, and we were supposed to be tanking, but we were up out of our seats in the fourth quarter in big moments because Bulls fans love being in that environment and love seeing Bulls players winning games at the United Center, on the United Center court, because, in the back end of the dynasty, at least before, they closed down the old Chicago Stadium, it's where history was made. It's the house that MJ built, and there are certain things about the nostalgia of that that are still so powerful. And it's why this fan base is as insanely loyal as it is. And it's why I think for younger Bulls fans who didn't necessarily get to live any of that, that more so than being a Bulls fan, you had people picking sides and are saying, all right, well, I'm a Derrick Rose fan. I'm not a Bulls fan. I'm a Derrick Rose fan. Or later, I'm not a Bulls fan anymore. I'm a Jimmy Butler fan. And the rebuild 3 years in, as you were just saying, has gone nowhere. And really all we have right now, and thank God we have him at least, is watching Zach LaVine, try and pour in 40 points every night. But that's not good enough for this fan base, for this team and this market. That is just flatly not good enough.
Yeah, instead of trying to play to the strengths of your best player, let's just focus on the negatives. That's what we do here in Chicago. Instead of play to the strengths of your best player, let's talk about all the things that he's done well for this team. No, let's just talk about how shitty he plays on defense because I've watched one game out of the last two seasons. That irritates me the most. That's what part of it, I would say, is part of the frustration with the fan base. I think it's part of it's on us, but it's because of how shitty this team has been and all the moves that we've made. I feel like our fan base sometimes drives guys out of this city because we talk so negatively all the time about this team, which, to a point, we have to. What's positive to talk about this team? And I feel bad for guys like Jimmy Butler before he was traded. And I feel bad for guys like Zach LaVine who are here. And these guys would be loved on mid-market teams. Stick Zach LaVine on the Orlando Magic. Stick Zach LaVine on the Charlotte Hornets. Stick Zach LaVine on any mid-market team. He's a star. People love him. They don't want him to leave. But instead, here in Chicago, we've got fans calling in left and right every single day saying, get rid of LaVine. He's terrible. He's not a number one. Get rid of Markkanen. This team's... I don't understand how players are going to want to play here when we just rip guys and then the front office doesn't give the best player on your team any help. It's a cycle. It's a cycle that continues to happen. And at some point, the Bulls got to stop this cycle. They have to. They have to. You're going to have no fans. You're going to have nobody watching games.
And it just goes to show you, and I know that, we've gotten some feedback occasionally from some of our listeners saying, I wish you guys would talk about basketball more instead of just, ripping the front office all the time. But, that just shows you where we are. We are a five-day-a-week podcast about the Chicago Bulls, and we are mid-season. And yeah, we'll break down, last night's game and what happened, who had a good game, who had a bad game, what happened, what was the quarter that decided the game. But it has been, like you were just saying, it's a cycle. The Bulls get outcoached. They lose the third quarter. Zach LaVine balls out, but it's not enough. And or they cough up a fourth quarter lead. It's been the same thing all stinking season. They beat the bad teams occasionally. They always lose to the good teams. It is a vicious cycle of sameness. And, we feel questions like you were saying about, should we trade Zach? Should we trade Lowry? What's not working? What's not? The bigger problems are the bigger problems. And for a mid-season NBA podcast that does Monday through Friday episodes, we have to sit here and talk about our VP saying stupid things that are bold lies to media and fans. Our coach, who has mind-numbingly dumb comments in his post-game press conference after every single game. We got
to really want me to comment on that
on every show to Jim Boylan saying something freaking stupid. I wish we could talk basketball more than we do, but you have to talk about what's, you know, preventing your team from getting to the next level.
You're right.
Yeah, the Bulls roster isn't very strong, but it's the smallest of their problems right now.
I want to know who wants us to break down Cristiano Felicio playing minutes. Like, you really want me to break down his game? He fucking blows. Let's break down
the incredible 5 minutes that Adam Akoka played the other day.
Yeah, sorry. You want us to go on a 15-minute segment talking about Adam Akoka getting MVP champs? That's fucking embarrassing that you've got a G League guy out there getting MVP chance. I'm good for Zach LaVine the other night, too. Somebody asked him a question about Makoka and said, you know, good for him, but why are we cheering? We lost the game. It was over at that point. And then for him to get MVP, that's embarrassing. For a guy in the G League to get MVP chance at the United Center, to me, that was an embarrassment for Bulls fans. It's an embarrassment. It shows exactly where this Bulls team is at this point. The MVP chance we're going for Derrick Rose, who was an MVP. The MVP chance before that, we're going for Michael Jordan, who was a fucking MVP. And instead, now we're cheering for Adam Makoka, who had a nice 5-minute stretch at the end of a blowout? It's a joke. So you want me to break down basketball? The Bulls have lost 6 straight games. They're 3-7 in the last 10 games. They've won one game against a team over 500. What's fun about breaking down any of that type of basketball? None of the good players are in. None of our core players we've seen jack shit from outside of Zach LaVine. So what would you like Matt and I to break down as far as X's and O's? Because there's nothing fun to talk about that. You really want to listen to me and Matt talk about Cristiano Felicio for 30 minutes a day?
Oh my God. And like you were saying, I think it was before we hit record, but when we were chatting earlier, just like the Bulls-Wizards game from Tuesday night. It's one of the most disgusting games of basketball I've ever seen. Like, yeah, it was awesome. Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine kind of, you know, going toe-to-toe and dueling back and forth. But other than that, the Bulls' offensive execution in that game was garbage. Their defense in that game was garbage. And that's the other frustrating thing about, well, what can we break down? And it goes back to what I was saying, what you were saying about it's the same thing in a loop over and over. Regardless of his personnel, which, yes, he's taken a hit here, he's lost a player to injury there, he has said in as many words after several losses, I'm not changing anything. We've installed our system. I like the systems we've installed, even though we're 17 games under 500. So it's not like you can even talk about the different ways that the Bulls are playing. They're playing the same style pretty much every night. They will occasionally make minor adjustments for little mini stretches, and the rotation has changed a couple of times because of injury. But for the most part, they're playing the same brand of losing basketball every night.
Yeah, and the only hope that they're hoping that all these guys come back healthy, and by some miracle of God, Jim Boylan can collectively bring all of these guys healthy for 1 month together and squeeze out an 8 seed. That's what the Bulls are hoping for. I hope you guys see it as clear as day as I do. That's what John Paxson and Gar Foreman and Jim Boylan are hoping for. They're hoping these guys come back at the end of February, everybody's fully healthy, and Jim Boylan goes on some miraculous run, and the Bulls can make the playoffs 8 games under 500 at 37-45. That's what the Bulls are hoping for. I hope you guys know that.
That's laughable.
That's what they want to do.
Absolutely laughable.
Because then in the offseason, even if they get their ass kicked in the first round of the playoffs, they can come out and say, well, we took another step, you know, year 3 of the rebuild with all the injuries. We still overcame that. We still made a playoff. These guys got playoff experience when, in reality, you fucked yourself over on another lottery pick on a trash season. Most of the guys that are on this team don't want to be here. You haven't developed anybody, and you lucked out by playing one good month of basketball, and you ended up in the playoffs. But it'll save Jim Boylan's job. It might even save John Paxson's job if they squeeze out a playoff spot in the last 6 weeks here of the season. But that's what they're hoping for. So,
I mean, the good news is that I don't think Bulls fans have to worry themselves about that.
I don't think so either.
Because there's no shot. No, like, not a chance in hell. So the Bulls right now at the All-Star break are 5 games back of Orlando in the 8th seed. And by the way, Washington, with their win over the Bulls on Tuesday, leapfrogged the Bulls at least one game ahead in the win column, and they have 3 fewer losses than the Bulls. The Bulls are also only 4.5 games ahead of the Eastern Conference worst Cleveland Cavaliers at 14-40. So they are smack dab in the middle of where you don't want to be. And the rest of the February schedule coming out of the All-Star break is fairly soft, and there are some quote-unquote winnable games there. But nothing is a surefire win with this Bulls group, especially as banged up as they are now. But the March schedule and then that West Coast road trip that bridges March into April to wrap up the season, not a chance in hell. Not a hell freezes over before the Bulls make a run in March and April and get a playoff spot. Not the way they're playing. Not with Jim Boylan at the helm. Not going
to
happen.
Bulls have to go 18-10 the rest of the way to be 37-45. And like I said earlier in the episode, that's what 538 has projected as the last seed in the playoffs for the Eastern Conference. And that goes to the Magic. So you need the Magic at 5 games back. You got to have the Magic go something like, 13-15 over their last 28 games? I don't see that happening. The Bulls have one of the most difficult, like you were just saying, one of the most difficult schedules to finish out the season. It's literally a death march in the last like 3 weeks of the season. Unless
it's all playoff teams and mostly on the road.
Unless teams are sitting guys at the point where they've already made, you know, they've already made their playoff spot. They're pretty much locked in. A lot of these teams, some of these teams are going to be fighting for seeding. So they're going to need guys to go out there and play. And if the Bulls aren't fully healthy, there's no chance in hell that they have an opportunity to go on some type of winning streak. They've won one game against a team over 500 this year. One game. And that was against a Clippers team that didn't have 3 of their starters. So, I don't know. It's laughable when there's a very, very minority part of the fan base that's still holding out hope that the Bulls do go on some type of run. It's not going to happen, though. In the front office, I hope, you know, maybe they're hoping out for that too, but it's not going to happen. Last thing, Matt, I know we're running long here, but last thing I wanted to mention real quick, because it's going, semi-viral on Twitter. Noticing that there are some fans that are getting kicked out of the United Center for wearing shirts that say hashtag FireGarPacks or wearing jerseys that say FireGarPacks on it. You have any thoughts on them getting kicked out? I know this is similar too to the Blackhawks. Last year, people were bringing in signs that said fire Stan Bowman. Stan Bowman's a clown. They were kicking people out of the United Center for that, too. Do you think this is kind of a James Dolan, New York Knicks type of thing where they kicked the fan out and banned him from the MSG for life after he yelled, sell the team? You think this is kind of a similar scenario?
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, fan getting a ban for life kind of thing the way that Dolan did at MSG last year. But I do know that this is not the first instance we've seen this happen. I've heard and seen evidence of many other times fans getting removed from the United Center for having anti-Garpacks memorabilia or signage or whatever. And it's happened, you know, many times. And, it is silly that they're guarding themselves against that. But at the same time, I understand why they are not going to just sit back and let that happen and let fans, you know, yell and say, you know, bad things about the people who run this team because they're sensitive. They are some of the most thin-skinned executives, not just in Chicago here, but I think in professional sports in this country. Our previous conversation where, you know, Gar plants moles on the coaching staff to report back what's being said about him is one example of that. They're all thin-skinned. So it doesn't surprise me that we saw that. Another recent example is there was some kid yelling FireGarPacks behind the pregame set when, you know, Jason and Kendall and Will were doing a pregame show from the concourse at the UC. You could hear, you know, it was getting picked up on their mics. He was staring directly into the camera and yelling FireGarPacks, and he was swiftly removed. Did you also see that there is another billboard that's making its way around Twitter? It's a digital one this time.
It's a dollar store brand billboard. I feel bad. That first one was really, really nicely designed, but this one is like you bought it off the dollar store. But hey, shout out for the effort.
Yeah, I mean, good for whoever did that. And I mean, truly, maybe they are embarrassed by this stuff. And maybe they do know that, you know, the day of judgment, their reckoning day is coming and nearly at hand. As for fans and what they can do to express their frustration, it goes back to what we said earlier. Not showing up is the best way to do it. And even still, when you do show up, and it was a home game from, I want to say not last week, but the week prior, when the Bulls just had a couple of just brutal stretches of offensive possessions back to back that were just laughably bad going into a timeout, there were audible boos. And that, to me, is something positive that the fans can do to express their frustration. You should boo. This team, other than Zach LaVine and a few other fleeting bright spots from a couple players, has been nothing but boo-worthy all season long. So a half-empty stadium that gets nothing but boos, I mean, good for Bulls fans for sending a message.
Well, there's another team here in Chicago that doesn't like getting booed, and that would be the Chicago Bears. So maybe the Chicago Bears players will call the Bulls players and see if they'll speak out about fans booing and whether or not they should do that or not. But it seems like the Bulls players are kind of in line with it, too. Like, they know they suck, and they feel it every single night when they lose. I mean, it goes back even to last year. Bulls got booed off the court, too, against the Celtics when they took that historic loss. They got booed off the floor when the Kings embarrassed them. So it's continuing to happen. It seems like now the voice is slowly getting louder and louder and louder. And, you know, the actions are showing, too. Actions are always louder than words. And the Bulls' pockets are hurting right now. And like you said, for the first time in, what, two decades, the Bulls are out of the top two in attendance. And that's huge, and that's alarming for a lot of people in that front office for the Bulls. But yeah, to me, if this was the Knicks, if this was the Lakers, if this was the Miami Heat, if this was any big major market NBA team, this would be a national story. This would be a 100% a national story. Just because the Bulls are so terrible, they know. And with All-Star Weekend being here as well, they know it's not a story. We'll sweep it under the rug. We'll make sure it's not a story. It can be a story on Twitter, but we won't talk about it. But if it was any other team,
I mean, like, it is getting some attention, you know, especially with all these big NBA names, you know, here this weekend for All-Star Weekend. Like, we've heard Charles Barkley on Chicago radio waves saying, like, man, what the hell happened with the Bulls? This is depressing. And Michael Wilbon saying very similar things, you know, a Chicago guy who's, you know, been, you know, very close with the Bulls for dating all the way back to the dynasty years. And then even like a recent example is Brian Windhorst in the Hoop Collective podcast that he does for ESPN. His recent episode the day after the Bulls Sixers game in Philly, where he had on Jackie Mack and I think one or two other guests, one of the first things they were talking about in that show, they started with Bulls Sixers, was Jim Boylan getting booed by Philly fans for calling one of his inexplicably unnecessary timeouts. The only attention the Bulls are getting nationally is, holy crap, the Bulls are a laughingstock.
Matt, I figure I would end this. I got this DM a couple of days ago, and I don't know if you get these a lot, but I get them once in a while, and I figured I'd share it with our listeners as we head out. It says, I have a rumor for you guys. By the way, you guys are my favorite Bulls pod. My friend works at a shop downtown. One of his coworkers is friends with LaVine's barber. According to my friend's coworker, he said the barber's telling him LaVine's mobile at the end of the year. Obviously, I'm not hesitant to take it for granted, and I'm not here to spread it on a public platform, but always interesting to hear rumors like that. So I got just a random DM from somebody the other day that said that. So it's funny, people are talking to LaVine's barber, they're talking to the guy that dresses him, his shoe guy. Like, there's rumors that fly around here all the time. But I said that last year, if they weren't going to let LaVine in on player decision making, they weren't actually going to take steps to bring in better players and try to improve this roster, he's going to want out. And that would be true for any star player that's wasting the prime of his career on a sub 500 team that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's the same thing that I've heard about Lowry, which is, you know, that got a lot of noise because of Cowley's hit on your station 670 true last week, that, like, yeah, they're upset. And if things don't change, then players like Lowry and Zach LaVine, you bet your ass they're going to want out of here and will bolt as soon as they can. Both players are still under team contract for, you know, Zach's got two more years on his deal. Lowry's still got time, and then, you know, qualifying offer, restricted free agency. And I still think that there are some changes on the way, and hopefully one of them is getting a new coach, because I don't know if Jim Boylan is capable of changing things himself as long as he is still running this team. Because if he's capable of change, he would have adapted already this season when, you know, hit with adversity and the fact that his way resulted in lots of losing right out of the gate. So I do worry about that a little bit, but I still think if they make the proper changes this offseason, that there are still pieces like Zach and like Lowry that are valuable, young, have high potential ahead of them, and are worth keeping around. And hopefully they can find some semblance of mental peace and happiness knowing that the organization is actually changing course.
I coach by faith. I think people understand what we're trying to build.
I think we'll leave it at that.
Go build yourself a house out of shit, Jim Boylan.
Oh, man. I think we'll leave it at that, though. Jim Boylan, I mean, what can you say about the guy?
He's nutting up.
And with that, thanks for listening to today's episode. A lot more. A lot more. By the way, if you guys haven't realized throughout this episode, I have now the full ability to play sound, so you'll be hearing a lot more of that. And hearing our reactions, things will be a lot easier here now. But yeah, now I have the ability to play Jim Boylan drops.
He's not enough.
Jordan, I hear enough of Jim watching post-game press conferences every freaking night. Don't do this to me.
My favorite. I have a drop, and I'm going to save it for maybe sometime next week. It's just a long, extended Jim Boylan breathing, and it's just a bunch of clips of him breathing. It's the funniest thing I think I've heard in a while. So I'll leave that for maybe I'll play that tomorrow at some point in tomorrow's show. But yeah, you can hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Again, on Twitter, you got any questions, you want to react to anything we talked about today, either text message, tweet at us, drop us a voicemail. We'll try to get maybe to some of those on tomorrow's episode. I know we've been lacking on the voicemails, so we'll try to get as many of those in maybe tomorrow, if not first thing Monday, at the conclusion of All-Star Weekend. But for Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com